Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're listening to this podcast, you're most probably listening through a pair of headphones, which means I have the perfect sponsor with the perfect product for you. It's Studio, and they want to revolutionize the way people see headphones. Generally, fashionable headphones tend to lack the proper sound quality, and the high-tech ones are bulky and not design-orientated. Studio bridged that gap while emphasizing sleek, modern Scandinavian design. To get a 15% discount on any of their wares, go to studiosweden.com, which is spelled SUDIO Sweden.com, and simply put in the code DTD when purchasing a pair of headphones.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
In an uncertain world, there is always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great music. Today we speak to businesswoman Brianna Rooney about the world of juggling, dancing and recruiting the right person for the right role. Brianna, why are you wearing red today?
Oh, it is power day. It's going to be a good day. I always feel good in red. Always.
But what does that mean, though? Define power day. Not a good day. I think we all know what a good day is, but what's a power day?
Oh, power day. Okay. So I haven't been in the office the last couple of days. My little girl's first birthday was yesterday. So I've kind of been out, and I was excited to come in, and I walked in the office. I said, today is power day. We are closing some deals today. And I just had this extra, you know, snap to my step and did a little twirl and started the day. So I'm feeling good.
What were you clicking your heels kind of Julie Garland style, like it's a Wizard of Oz or something? Yeah.
I love her.
So yeah. Your daughter is one and you obviously run a busy, successful business. How are you managing to juggle everything?
Well, luckily my son's also four. So luckily my husband is a fantastic father and his restaurant has been open now for 4 years. So now it's a little easier. He helps out on Mondays. She's in daycare Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then I still take off Fridays just because we don't want to put her into school until she's about two. So I got another year of that, which is good. You know what? It keeps me on my toes. And when my son was born, I actually became super, super efficient. I thought I was good at my job before, but when he was born and I was taken away from work and from all the hours that I'm normally put in, I went from, you know, like 40, 50 hours a week to 28. Like it was significant. So I just learned how to do my job like really well. And so now with Lima, with the other one, it's like even more so. Like you just don't have time to mess around anymore. It becomes a little more real. You know, everything's a little more important.
So you've got this young family and you've got a husband who's got a very stressful intern, a very pressured, that's
yes.
Maybe a better word, very pressured job. You know, you can't run a restaurant and do that at half measures at all.
Yeah.
You say you're efficient. But surely you've always got to be rushing. Is there any time just to be if you've got so many different competing things to do, if your family's got so many competing different things to do?
I guess my time to just be is when they go to bed. So like Lima right now is going to bed like at 6, Diego goes to bed at 8 or whatever. And that's my time. I literally go into my room and I just sit on the bed for a second and I will turn on a Murder, She Wrote. Yes, it's very old. Murder, She Wrote. And I will literally just like blank out for a good like 30 minutes. And I think that that's something, that's my way to recharge and be like, ah, okay, let's keep going. But I don't.
Wait a minute. Wait, we have to investigate this Murder, She Wrote. Have you still got a VHS video player or something?
I wish. My husband made me throw it away. I love Jessica Fletcher, Angela Lansbury. I used to want to be a murder investigator. So like, I don't know. I think it's just a good watch for me.
So you do find time just to be, but that's late at night. Let's go back a step. You're in business. How did you fall into the world of recruitment? Because in a world where lifelong jobs are a thing of history, it seems to me that recruitment is probably the place to be.
Oh, I love it. It's absolutely the place to be. It's we were just talking about that this morning, actually. It doesn't stop. You know, we're in the tech field, so it doesn't stop. They're always building, they're always inventing. It's really fun. We're just needed. It's insane. But I got into it by complete luck, which I very much believe in. So I wanted to get in the fashion. I went to Fitem and completed that in LA. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I need money to open up the store that I wanted. So I was pretty lost and decided, well, I'm going to go to bartending school because I'm going to go just make money in a bar. Did that and then realized that probably wasn't a great idea. Had too much fun and then decided, okay, let's see, what can I do that's going to make me a lot of money quickly? That was always my thing, is quickly, because I wanted to get to the next step. And I had a good friend of mine who said, hey, come out to dinner with me. I want to tell you about what I do. I said, all right. So at this point, I had put my resume up on Monster, just kind of aimlessly, just didn't even know really what I should do. And she said, hey, I'm a recruiter. Have you ever heard of recruiting? I'm like, absolutely not. So she told me about it, but she did the financial world. And so she said, hey, you know, you love talking to people. You love matchmaking. You're always setting people up on dates and stuff like that. That's essentially what you do. I'm like, oh, that sounds really cool. And she's like, in the meantime, the commissions are really big. So I said, excellent. And at the same time, my phone rings and I pick it up and it's this guy who saw my resume on Monster. And he goes, hey, Sozo, have you ever heard of recruiting? I started laughing. Like, I got the chills. I was like, are you serious? I am talking to my friend right now about it. And he goes, all right, well, hey, I think that you could be good on it based on your resume. Why don't you come in for an interview tomorrow? So it was like, oh, it was crazy.
So what was it in you, other than the fact that you were almost matchmaking people romantically? What was it about you? And they thought, right, you'd be a good recruiter.
Well, they saw that. So I got actually help from my stepdad, who's been in sales forever. And he helped me with my resume. And I put just really focused on numbers. So even though I was just bartending, I think I put like, no, I know 150 recipes. And, you know, it was very like number focused. I put passionate on there, motivated, you know, all those kind of like key buzzwords. And I think that's why he reached out, because he saw that I was already number focused. And that's what sales is all about at the end of the day. It's a numbers game. And so I think that he just thought, also being in a bar, you have to be outgoing and not be afraid of things. So I think that's kind of what put that together. I don't know. It just happened randomly. It was pretty interesting. So went in the next day, interviewed and got the job. And that was about it.
And at what point? When was this? Give us
the year. Let's see. I am 33. I was 22. So almost 11 years ago. What year is that? What year is this?
2007. 2018,
yeah, about 2007.
So it's 2007.
Yeah.
And you've discovered this world of recruitment. Tell us about that first day.
Huh, that was extremely exciting because when I interviewed, I spoke to the guy that owned the company and he was like, so, you know, how much do you want to make? And I was like, you know, is this a trick question? So I told him 300,000 and he was like, yeah, you're hired. And so I was just kind of like set on, he's like, no, you can make that. And of course my parents thought it was like a pyramid scheme. And so I was just really excited. It was my first, like, I think real job. I've had cool jobs before, but it was like a real job. And I was just really giddy. I've always loved it from day one. So it was something new. What was funny is, of course, I kind of fibbed about my computer skills. I had zero computer skills. I typed with two fingers and I just got good at that. And I don't know.
Well, no, but nobody needs more than two fingers when you're typing. You know, I think the second finger is actually optional. You only need one.
Yeah, just peck at the computer.
Let's go back to that interview. Mm-hmm. Give us some do's and some don'ts when you're sat in front of a potential employer. What should people do and what shouldn't they do?
Ooh, I love that question. Okay, so what I think is important, like I don't ask like things, hey, can you type, you know, for example, that's never a question because people can figure that stuff out. I like to ask like situations and I like to see how positive somebody is, you know, and first of all, in I think life, if you're not positive, you're going to have a hard time, but in sales, you will drown. So mm-hmm. I like to say, you know, hey, give me a situation where, oh, you were having the worst day of your life and what did you do? Now, what I want to hear is not, I don't need the right answer. I just want to hear them actually think of something on their feet. So I think that if you're having an interview, you need to really just go for it and not worry that you're going to stumble. For me, that's the biggest, the absolute worst is when I'm sitting looking at someone and there's just silence. It's awful. So that is a huge pet peeve of mine, for sure. I would even say another pet peeve would be, can you like really describe that question? That they get all like nitty gritty about it and they're just afraid to answer wrong. I think that's another issue for me. Or just yes or no, you know, no conversation, like no back and forth. It's, you know, it shouldn't be an interrogation. I want to actually have a conversation.
Conversations are important, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think it's lost right now. I was actually at Osh this morning, just getting new keys, and there was this kid, and I say kid because he's probably like, you know, 21, 22 or something, and he was so awesome. He asked me like so many questions, asked me if I had anything else that I need to do. Do I have any projects? What kind of house do I have? I started talking about my son was there the day before. And he's like, well, what does your son like to build? He like really went for it and made a such a big impression on me because I feel like I'm not used to, first of all, people being so friendly. I think that's really sad. And also that someone just wants to talk and wants to find out and ask questions.
Did you just say you're not used to people being friendly? You live in the sunshine golden state where everyone is happy. You live in California. You live in the Bay Area.
You would think everyone would be nice and friendly. You know, come on, think about it like this. You're walking down the street and you smile mm-hmm. at someone and they're like, what is this person flirting? You know, it's like, no, I'm just having a good day, or say, hi, how are you? And if you notice, people don't stop to actually say, you know, good, thanks, how are you? They don't really care. They just go, good, thanks. But they could be having the worst day of their life. They just don't even, you know, it's weird. It's if someone said, no, I'm doing awful. Are you going to even stop? Are you even listening? No.
You know, that is true. But I must admit, I'm generally the worst when I'm out in public, when somebody actually says hi to me, because invariably I've got headphones on.
Oh,
I'm always listening to a podcast. I am. You know, to me, I'm incredibly like out there and I'm present, but actually they always have to repeat everything they say to me, which then just upsets people first off, because actually I'm not. So I'm probably one of these people you're railing against, actually.
Interesting. I mean, aren't you, like, I feel like you're just missing out on opportunities. Like, you never know who you're going to meet. You never know what you're going to see.
So you seriously walk down the road, right, mm-hmm. from home to work, and you just smile at everybody and just say, howdy doody, and you want to engage everybody in conversation.
Well, I don't want to stop and, like, you know, sit and have a cocktail next to the side of the road. But yeah, absolutely. And I teach my son to do the same thing, so much so that when we're walking and he mm-hmm. says hello to someone and the person doesn't say hi back, he goes really loudly, why did that person not say hi to me? He's
really?
Very upset. Yeah. I don't know. I just, you're just passing on a smile.
You know what? I'm finding this incredibly fascinating. And but this is very culturally specific, because if you had to do this, let's say, in London, uh-huh. you might get committed into a mental asylum. People are going to think, this person is just too much. However, the balance seems to be right somewhere where the sun fundamentally shines. Then people are like, people are a little bit happier. But this is very cultural, very cultural. And also, I think the studies been done about this, and this is where you definitely are an outlier, in that generally the bigger the city, the less people smile and engage people, strangers, with eye contact. So your little boy Diego, he seems to have somewhat of a sunny disposition.
Yes.
Right. His sunny disposition, does he kind of take that through into his musical choice? Because like this week you've decided to go for Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars. That yes. is a song all about happiness, isn't it? And exuberance.
Yes. We love it. It's our favorite. He makes me blast it. Alexa blasts it.
You know, they say the family that kind of eats together stays together. Do you dance together?
Absolutely. And we like to freeze dance. And I get all funky with it. I dance as crazy as I possibly can, because already at age 4, which I think is insane, he has come home from school and he goes, someone made fun of me or someone laughed at me. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to have a kid that is going to be upset by someone laughing at him. I said, are you kidding me? That means they think you're so cool. And so I make sure I am, like, really over the top, and I dance all crazy and I get my arms all wiggly and stuff, and just I'll pretty much do anything to make that little guy laugh. And so I think that's how he does it as well. And now he has the funniest dance where he thinks like a jumping jack is dancing. He like goes around doing jumping jacks. So yeah, we just, you know, beat to our own drum. This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman. I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. I'm too hot. And my band bought that money. Break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't
set you hallelujah. Ooh. Girl, set you hallelujah. Ooh. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Ooh.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch.
Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up. I said Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up, Uptown funk you up. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you sexy and flown it, if you freak dead and own it, don't brag about it, come show me. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you've sexed and flown it,
well, it's Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe it, just watch. Come on.
So you're a girl of the 80s.
I love
and 80s music. So you like a little bit of Queen. What else do you like?
Journey. Love that.
That doesn't... That's not really...
Oh, music. My God.
That's more Muzak. That's Muzak. That's the middle of the road schlock. Come on. Let's pass on that. So I will say, so you said Queen. I'm not going to say what you said afterwards. Queen, what else do you like?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I mean, you always have to like Michael Jackson. He's the best. And that's why I think I like Bruno Mars so much. They remind me of each other.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. That's where Bruno Mars has got a lot of his inspiration for. And he's the absolute consummate performer in concert, isn't he? Like, he is working.
Oh, my goodness. So, let's see. Last November, we sat mid-row, or we got mid-section, and we were 13 rows back. A fortune, but well worth it. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. I've seen him now four times, I think. And I can't sit any further than that. It's just like not going to happen. He's so good, so worth it. It's incredible. Gives me the chills.
So have we got to really thank your parents for your sunny, open disposition and maybe the reason why you're so good at recruitment? Because obviously you like people.
I do. Well, I'm not everybody, but yeah. I love people.
I tell you, do you not like problematic clients?
Well, that's an interesting question. So no, of course not. So like now I get to choose who I work with, which it's like a trillion times better. And I definitely train my employees to choose who they work with. We are not customer service. There is just too much out there. Now, we're not rude, but we're important and we want to make sure that they know that our time is just as important. So I like to partner with companies. I don't like to work for companies, if that makes sense.
Okay. So what's the difference? What's the difference?
Okay. So before, when I first started, when I thought of recruiting differently, you would think that when you work with a company that it's like, so like, yay, they're going to work with me and they're going to let me find them people. Okay. That's not the case. Like, we're partnering with this company to find them people to help their company, because if they don't find these people to do this, then another company is building faster than them, building better, and they can't afford to do that. So we are so important in this process that if we don't work together as if I'm working at their company, then it's a big issue. And if the respect's not there, it's a big issue, and it comes through. And it comes through with the candidate too, as a candidate's experience. So it's, yeah.
And do you find that can be an issue specifically in the tech industry that maybe, you know, yeah? And why is that? Well, why do you think that?
I think it's because a while ago, you know, before funding, like you know, big money, like, you know, 90 million rounds and stuff like that, before that was, you know, normal, it was more of like people were getting $5 million in funding and that was big. And then it went to 20 million, you know, stuff like that. And so then it was like, wow, you know, these companies are so innovative. They're so important. There's not many of them. Now there are so many companies getting so much funding that everyone is important. Companies can't think that they're the coolest company out there or that they're the only company doing this. It's just not the case. And so now they understand that we have competition and that we have to treat it that way. And I think that they're changing their tune. And I mean, that's the reason why all these companies are trying to make basically robotic recruiting, which I don't think, I mean, I guess I don't hope is going to turn out too great for them with all these other these companies trying to like automate a very personal experience. I think you can automate a lot of things, but you cannot automate recruiting.
There is something about spotting the ideal recruit for the ideal position. Yeah,
exactly. We need to see through, because you got to think that I talk to these people on the phone and I'm actually, you know, finding out about their lives. A computer is not finding that out. Like more often than not, I actually place people at companies they would never, like they initially were like, oh, no, thank you. And I'll say, well, hold on for a second. This is why I think you should talk to them. And I can give them more nitty gritty. And I can say, well, based on the conversation I had with you, this is why. You know, a robot's not going to do that. It's not, there's no way.
Where would a robot place me in what type of company?
Well, consider that you're closed off, probably at like a Best Buy.
I'm not closed off. I'm not closed off right now. I'm open to possibilities right now. So, all right, so a robot is going to place me in Best Buy. Right?
Yeah, Best Buy.
Where would Brianna Rooney place me?
Oh, my goodness. Well, then I'm going to have to ask you a few questions.
All right, let's go for it.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, what do you do besides this? What does your resume look like?
All right. My resume looks like it's chock-a-block full of companies that I've run, things that I've done. Lights that I've illuminated. There you go.
Okay.
So,
what do you do?
Okay. So this is what I do. All right. So I podcast 24/7. So primarily I'm a communicator. I have a voracious appetite for knowledge. I like the new. I always like learning something new. Mm-hmm. I have decent technical skills, whether that is so I can do let's say I can build a website. Mm-hmm. I can obviously create a program, technically an audio program or video, so I do non-linear video editing. I've directed pop promos, the company that I run, myvillage.com. We got to a headcount of 20 and we turned over a couple of times, $750,000 UK pounds in a couple of years. And we got up to, we were doing 1 million users a month around about 2007. So I have a track record in business. I see myself as a creative and a communicator.
Mm. Okay.
Right. Where am I starting on Monday?
well, here's the thing. First of all, I do all engineers, but I have definitely done different positions. And you know what? When you first started saying that, you know, you're a communicator and that you like, you know, innovation, it sounds like. So I would place you over at Cognoa and they're in Palo Alto. And what they do, actually, I started from the beginning with this one. I love this one. It's essentially an application on your phone that you are figuring out autism earlier than they can do now. So typically now it's about, you know, at 3 years old, they figure it out and they think that it's a little too late. And so this is has it down to 18 months. They can figure it out by video and data science. And they're trying to get it down to 13 months, which is, I mean, would be insane, I think. I don't even know how it's possible. But the reason being is I was thinking of your business aspect of things, and having to really get that out there is important. And they're starting to go through health insurance now and having companies, you know, set that up. And I think the creative part would be for you to be, how can we get this out? Not just only through companies. How are we going to monetize this? I think that's really interesting, and it's pretty powerful. They're extremely mission driven. And I think that's where you should start on Monday. Go tackle that business.
All right. Before I get in there, right, for that interview, and I know I'm going to knock their socks off, as you Americans would say. What should I go in there saying that I'd like for a salary? What do you reckon?
Oh, if you're gonna run the business and start monetizing, you got to get paid really well. I would say that you are going to need at least $150,000.
That could work. That could work. And then, of course, you're gonna get your recruiter's fee. And I, one of the things which I, when I was kind of looking at the notes which you sent through to me, it really occurred to me that actually what you do is you touch people's lives, and you're an intense part of someone's life for maybe a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks when they're going for various interviews. Sure. And actually, you can change someone's life quite considerably, but then you disappear, don't
you? No, I don't disappear. Absolutely not. That's
not you personally, but three years in, when I've gone up the greasy pole, tell me why the recruiter doesn't disappear after 3 years.
Well, a good recruiter doesn't disappear, I should say. So I think this is the what sets techies apart, and myself in general, is because when I was 2 years into this, working at my old company, I realized how powerful this is, and I realized the effect that we have on people's lives. And a career, I mean, I guess it depends on the person. Sometimes their career is even above their family. But it's only like either one or two, right? So I realized how impactful it was, and that to just say that we're just a number, or that they're just a number to me, which yes, they're a very big number, but that's not the case. And the case is that you have to work on referrals. And that's what we do the best. So we stay in touch. We make sure that they're happy. We definitely follow up a couple weeks in, a couple months, a few months. And, you know, we get a lot of referrals from that because they realize that we do care. Yes, we do have to keep them at their certain company, which is why we guarantee them. So, you know, we have other motives to do what we do, but we take that additional step even past their guarantee because, you know, I'll give you an example. I've had a few people come over to my husband's restaurant, and I've met them, and our kids have played together, you know, so I go that extra mile. I don't have to. I'm not saying like, hey, let's sign up and be buddies for the rest of our lives. But I for sure want to make sure that I'm going to place them at their next position. I mean, think about like that. Like I think of the long run. I think of the long game. And if you think of just the quick, then you're going to have issues because then you're going to get frustrated. So I'll give you an example. Like, let's just say I have an offer for someone. And in these days, they have offers everywhere, right? Like there's like 2, 3, 4, 5 offers sometimes, you know, who knows? So I can't get upset if that person doesn't take my offer because I'm thinking I will place them at their next job. I will place their friend next week. You know, I think of all those things because that is how you spread yourself, and that's how you get your reputation the way it should be, and that's how you make the most money.
Is there a problem with recruiters not seeing, let's say, not realizing that they could have more diverse candidates, more women, specifically within tech? It seems to be something which I'm reading about all the time. Is that something that you've
noticed? Oh my gosh. This year, I would say the last 6 months have been insane. really, really to the point that I think it's too much with the diversity thing. And being a woman, I get the movement. I understand the movement, but it's gone too far to the point that it's doing the opposite. I mean, I've got companies that I feel like, if I told the world what you're saying to me right now, you would get sued. You know, like it's so touchy. People do want diversity, but now I feel like they're not talking to the others because they want it so bad. And that's not what it's meant to be. It's not meant to exclude anyone, mm-hmm. yet it is.
You are not only working in an industry which is traditionally yes. male, you're placing techies, mm-hmm. you know, coders, engineers, but also you are a woman in a role which is traditionally seen yep. as a male one. And I'm not on about recruitment per se, but just business, entrepreneurship. What are the issues, the stresses, the pressures which you think are unique to women in business and away from balancing family, which is the way that we kind of came into this?
Right. Yeah. I guess the typical way is, that women still kind of run the show there. I would just say, I got to tell you, I do get asked questions like that, like, oh, in a woman, how do you do the business? And to me, that question is almost offensive because I feel, well, just the same way.
Sorry.
I feel just the way the same. No, it's fine. The way I run a business is the way a man runs a business, or I could get, maybe I'm more thoughtful or maybe I'm more caring. I don't believe in that. However, what I do like about those questions is because it makes me feel more powerful and it makes me feel even more motivated because I want to prove not only to myself, but to the world that it doesn't matter who or what I am or, whatever you want to say there. All that matters is how successful you are and how inspired your employees are. I think that is the key to have a voice and to make sure that your employees have a voice. And that's how I set aside, I think, a good leader and a bad leader. But as far as a woman goes, I got to tell you, I think we're awesome. Okay, here, let me give you an example. So about a year and a half ago, I finally brought out my business partner, a male, and our office was definitely primarily males. I think there was three women at the time and out of 15. And it was just sales in general, I think, is kind of man-focused. And I finally got rid of that. I made sure that I kind of cleared office and said, hey, I want the people that I want here. I had hired people that I didn't want, that he wanted. And so I just kind of cleared up. And last year, I somehow had 80, a little over 80% women in the office, which I didn't do on purpose. It just kind of happened like that. It was interesting. And last year, our revenue was higher than it's ever been. So, that I think is powerful in itself. And I don't know if it's just, we're just all respected each other. There was no nonsense. I think that, we have a very fun office, a bar, a ping pong table, all that stuff. And when you get a bunch of guys together, they kind of just, they get a little crazier than I think when you put a bunch of women together, because I think we tend to be a little more focused. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting all sexist here. I don't know. But I don't know. That's how I go about things. I don't think there's any other which way. California now, you're not allowed to ask salary, which is interesting. And mm-hmm. they said that they did it for women. And that, to me, doesn't really resonate because I don't think you need to negotiate any different. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is there. If it's the lack of confidence, lack of self-esteem, I think probably women versus men have a self-esteem issue. But my mom, I think, probably raised me like a boy because she only wanted six boys. So my mom's a tomboy. Maybe I'm a tomboy. I don't know. Maybe she raised me with crazy amounts of confidence. And that's how I've always ran things. So I've never really thought otherwise.
Brianna Rooney, why don't you tell us the name of your company and how people can contact you if they either have a position that they need to fill or would like to go into the world of tech in Southern California?
Sure, absolutely. So my company is Techies.com, TECHEES.com. Definitely find me on LinkedIn, add me, Brianna Rooney, Rooney. Let's just connect. Companies, we can place all sorts of things. Software engineering is definitely our specialty. Only in San Francisco, that's what we've always done, even though we're in Southern California ourselves. But we'd love to hear from anyone. And if I can help, I have all sorts of different people kind of reaching out and be like, can you place me? And although I might not always be able to place them, I at least try to help them in any way I can. And even if it's just helping with the resume, because resume is the most important vessel in your job search. I don't think people realize that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This month's Agora Network featured podcast is American Biography, a podcast by Thomas Daly, which is dedicated to examining the lives of important and influential but less discussed Americans who played an integral, if underappreciated, role in the evolution of the United States. Now, Thomas is somebody who I'm somewhat in awe of. He has got a brain the size of a planet, and he's a rather clever and engaging speaker. So if you want to delve into American history, and don't just do the big rock stars of it, your Roosevelts and your Lincolns and your Washingtons, I highly recommend this podcast. It's called American Biography. Go and find it on a podcatcher of your choice. Incarnation of Robert Plant. Greta Van Fleet's debut single Highway Tune is a barnstorming blues rock flavoured attack. It chopped the Billboard US rock chart in September 2017. feedback, give me feedback. If you want to email me and possibly even get on the show, you can do that by emailing me at royfield@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter. I'm not great on the platform, but I am at Royfield on Twitter. And of course, you can go all the way over to Facebook and you can find Friday 15 there. Oh, one last thing. Be awesome if you could write us a little bit of a review on iTunes or on a podcatcher of your choice. See you all again in 7 days' time on another Friday.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.